I thought for a second Marcel was reading my notes and knew I was going to be preaching a pretty emotional message or something this morning. But take your Bibles and turn back to Genesis chapter 6. And, when we think about our day and age, we're talking about my relatives in Scotland, and we're talking about my dad, and my dad lived to 83. I miss my dad. I miss my mom and dad. But, I think about it. My dad lived 83 years old. And, 20, 30, 40 years ago, that was a long time for a man to live. And my dad outlived all of my uncles in Scotland. They all died fairly young, in their 60s. And, I know my mom used to say it had a lot to do with diet and exercise over in Scotland. They like to eat a lot of fried foods. And when I went over there, and I was dying to try one, I finally did. I had a fried Mars bar. And you remember the fried Mars bars? Has anybody ever had one? Yeah. I can still feel it. Amen. And my uncle John died about 67 years old. And he died of a heart attack. And when I was over there, I stayed with my Uncle John and his wife and my Aunt Roberta. And she fried everything. She got those greasy sausages, and she would pour them in. She'd get the fry pan out, pour a quarter inch of oil in the fry pan to cook greasy sausages. And, we'd have that three times a day. And, we live in a day, and I'm glad we live in a day where we're more health conscious. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on. And exercise. Everybody likes to exercise, right? Oh, boy. My exercise is walking to the couch, over to, turn channel on the television because you lost the controller. And by the way, did you know where TVs shop for new controllers? Christmas shop for new, in very remote places. I heard that on, never mind. That's my joke of the day. Anyways, we live in a day where we exercise more than we used to. How many people like to go running? Yeah, I like going running, even when no one's chasing me. Amen. I've raced in a couple of half marathons. I had somebody invite me to a half marathon in the spring, and I said, yeah, you know what? I wouldn't mind doing another one. And he said, well, wait a minute, it's one of these obstacle ones. I said, I'm not sure if I'm ready for that, where you not only do you run 21 kilometers, but you got obstacles and things to carry and fences to climb over. And I'm not sure if I'm ready for that. But you know what I think we can all do? We can all walk. Amen. Do you like walking? Amen. Exercise is so good. Walking is so good. Some of you still don't look convinced. Some of you are like, I don't even like walking. Do you like walking? Well, listen, I've got some exercises for you. If you don't like walking, you don't like running, there are some other ways you can burn calories. Amen? Did you know beating around the bush, you can burn 75 calories an hour beating around the bush? These are exercises we like. Amen? How about jumping to conclusions? You can do that. You can burn 100 calories an hour. How about climbing the walls, 150 calories an hour? How about this? And I think we could all use a little more of this. Swallowing your pride, 50 calories you can burn. Swallowing your pride every hour. Passing the buck, 25. Throwing your weight around, we can all do that. Amen. Depending on your weight, you can burn between 50 and 300 calories. Dragging your heels. How many of you can do that? Raise your hand. Come on. You know how many calories you burn? Zero. Just throw that one out. Pushing your luck, 250 calories. Making mountains out of molehills, well, we can really do that. You can burn 500 calories an hour doing that. Hitting the nail on the head, 50 calories. Waiting through the paperwork, 300 calories. Bending over backwards, 75 calories. Jumping on the bandwagon, 200 calories. Running around in circles, all the mothers going amen, running around in circles, you can burn 250 calories an hour. Eating crow. We've all done that. Amen. You actually lose weight, 250 calories an hour eating crow. Blowing your own horn, 25 calories an hour. Adding fuel to the fire, 150 calories. And even opening a can of worms, 50 calories. You're saying, Pastor, if I was to look at that list and think about running and doing obstacle courses and walking and exercise, I think I'll do one of those. Amen? In fact, we probably all do some of them already. Walking is something that God has commanded us to do. God has commanded all of us to walk, and it's important for all of us to learn to walk because, excuse me, someday walking may save your life. Did you ever think about that? Walking may save your life. Now, I'm not talking about walking to the refrigerator. I'm not talking about walking down the street. I'm talking about walking with God. And way back in Genesis chapter 6, the Bible there before Genesis chapter 6, gives all the generations of man and all the generations of Cain and all the generations of Seth and all of these people that populated the earth. And the earth was being filled with people. And all of these multitudes of people, you could imagine that there were a lot of good people, a lot of good Christians, a lot of people that were walking with God. Yet the Bible tells us that in the early days of the existence of mankind, there were only two people that walked with God. There were only two people that were concerned about their walk and about their spiritual health. And about making sure that they were right with God. And those two individuals, we're going to look at them this morning. Noah being one of them. Noah lived in a day when nobody was walking with God. I just want you to... real life, right now. Could you imagine if you were the only person in the world that wanted to go to church? Could you imagine if you were the only person in the world that went down to the bookstore and bought a Bible? Could you imagine if you're the only person in the world that read your Bible and that prayed to God and that sought God and that walked with God, and not only read your Bible, but not only being a hearer of the Word of God, but you also were a doer of the Word of God. You know, Noah was the only person, stop and think about this for a minute, he was the only person in the world that did any of those things. A world populated with people. And here is this one man, the Bible says, that walk with God. God looked down. He looked at creation. He looked at the people. He looked at the way they were living. He looked at the things they were seeking after. He looked at where their priority was and what their time was being filled with. He looked at all of their devotion to God, and he looked down and he saw only one man that walked with him. Now, what does it mean? People say, well, what does it mean to walk with God? There's people talk about marital problems, or people talk about family problems, or maybe there's a problem, you know, at the workplace with your boss or whatever it may be. And you know, sometimes when somebody's trying to find a solution to a problem, they're going to go here and they're going to go there and you know, say, well, this is what's going on and that's what's going on. And what we're doing is we're looking at all the leaves on the tree. We're looking at all the leaves on the tree. And we got to get right down and dig under the ground, and we got to get to the root of the problem. That's what we need to do. Get down to the root of the problem. And the Bible here, talking about Noah walking with God, the root of the problem is this. There are two ways that man can go. There's God's way, and there are his own way. Like, there's a lot of other things we could look at. There are, you know, maybe if you want to say, well, Pastor, there's many ways you can go. Well, really, there are only two ways. There's either God's way, or there is man's way. And so, we have a line, if you will, drawn in the sand. Noah was on this side of the line. And the rest of the world was on that side of the line. The rest of the world were doing that which was right in their own eyes. They were living for self-gratification. They were living to get rich quick. They were living for what they could get out of this world and out of this life. And for pleasure and for success and for all of these things. And the Bible says that these individuals weren't walking with God. Yet if we go over to this side of the line and we find one man walking with God, that idea of walking with God basically means that he is going God's way. He's going God's way. Which means his life, was lining up with God's will. It means that he was living in obedience to God. He was following God. He was worshiping God. He was serving God every single day. You know, when we think about walking, you know, we can go on walks, and we can go on walks alone, and we can go on walks with people. But you know, if I went outside and I was with Marcel, and I said, Marcel, let's go for a walk. And I went towards Wasaga Beach, and Marcel went that way towards Angus. We'd both be walking, but we wouldn't be walking together because we're going in two separate directions. I'm not following him, or he's not following me. And so when we think about walking with God, it just basically means we're going his way. We're doing things his way. We're living for him. We're loving him. So there are two types of people in the world today. There are people who are like Noah, and I'm glad there's more than one. Amen? Noah was walking with God. So you're either walking with God or you're over here. And again, there's a lot of other things that could be looked at. But generally speaking, you're either over there or you're over here. You're living for self. You're going your own way. You know what? I know what God wants. I know what God wants me to do tonight. I know what God wants me to do tomorrow. I know what God's will for my life is. But you know what? I'm not going that way. He's going towards Wasaga Beach, and we're going towards Angus. And guess what? We're not walking with him. You know, there were two guys. They were moving a piece of furniture, and they were struggling, and they were sweating, and they were frantic, and they couldn't get this piece of furniture through the door. So they finally, in exhaustion, they put the piece of furniture down. They looked at each other, and they finally figured out what the problem was. They were pulling in opposite directions. I thought we were going this way. I don't know. I thought we were going that way. And you know, they're not. They weren't going in the same direction. So we as God's people, we've got to ask ourselves: are we walking with God? Are we walking with God? Are we in agreement with Him, and are we going in the same direction? So Noah was a man, the Bible says, that walked with God. And we'll look at a couple of verses here. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect
in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here. We thank you for Noah. And as we'll see in a moment, we're also thankful for Enoch, who loved you and walked with you. And Lord, we're so thankful that we have the opportunity to walk with you as well. We are commanded to walk. And may each and every one of us have that same desire to walk with our God. So bless, guide, and direct for your glory. We'll thank you in Jesus' name, and amen. And the Bible says here in our text, the generations of Noah. These are these two individuals, Noah and Enoch, are the only two people here in the Old Testament to have been said to walk with God. We've looked at Noah, but there was Enoch as well. Turn in your Bibles, turn back one page or one chapter, Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22. The Bible says, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters." In essence, listen to this, folks. Enoch and Noah, their walk, talking about exercise, saving our lives, their walk saved their lives. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." God took him home. The Bible in the New Testament says that he was translated. He was beamed up. He was taken to be with God in heaven. And you know, we think about this world, we think about this, what we call the antediluvian world, this world of people that weren't walking with God. It was a wicked, evil world. It was a world, the Bible says, where marriage was being abused. The Bible says there that the sons of God married the daughters of men. And you know, the Bible is very clear. The Bible says that it's okay to marry, but only in the Lord. You know, I've heard of people, well, you know, I know they're not a Christian. I know they're not saved, but I got a pretty good idea that I can win them to the Lord. I've got a good idea that I can make them a Christian eventually. And, you know, they'll see, and everything will change. You know, people, it's altogether wrong for the world to be married to the church. It's altogether wrong to bring together light and darkness. And this principle of separation goes all the way back here to this antediluvian world. The Bible says that the sons of God there, and I believe that those are the godly line of Seth, the Bible says that they looked and saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, they were beautiful. And they took them, as many as they wanted, to be their wives. They took unsaved women. And it was the beginning of the end. It was the beginning of the end. And you know, it's so important to make sure that you know, rule number one when courting, look for Christian, period. Amen? Look for someone who's just not a Christian, but who's serving God, who's walking with God. Amen? Doing right. You see, the principles of separation are very clear. Old Testament, New Testament. God is very clear that we can't mix oil and water. We can't wed the world and the church. We can't bring together right and wrong and expect everything to be good. We can't take agriculture, all the commerce, all the music, the poetry, the cultivations of the world, and think, well, you know what? So, somehow we can bring it all together. There could be no valid excuse for an alliance in marriage between a Christian and an unsaved. And again, we can even bring that into the church and the world. The church should never ally itself with the matrimony of the world. Summer cannot ally itself with winter. Genius cannot ally itself with ignorance. And life cannot ally itself with death. They will never happen. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. The Bible principle there is that you can't mix these things. The Bible says that God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. They had passion. And that was their motive for disobeying the Lord. So we find a day and an age when marriage was being abused. It was a world where violence prevailed as well. The Bible says there were giants in the earth in those days. Also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. You know, men of physical strength became the rulers of the people. And you know, listen folks, I'm going to eventually bring this into our day. You probably already realize that. But you know, they looked at these giants and these men of renown. Man, these guys were 9 feet tall. These guys were men's men. You know, they had the nice chiseled square chins. They probably smelled good. They probably walked. And you know, when they walked into a room, all the girls swooned. And you know, oh. But they were horrible leaders. You know, we today sports figures. You know, man, if he can kick a ball or hit a ball or shoot a puck or do this or do that, man, they're the big stars now. They're the idols that people put on their walls at home. And you know, they lived in a day that violence ruled. Violence was the way. You wanted to settle an argument, you just battled it out. This is the way things were. They had people who had physical strength, but they had no spiritual strength in their hearts. And yet people followed them. They were favored. Men of physical strength were the terror of the day as well. The multitudes were in fear of these individuals. It was a day in which spiritual influences were rejected. The Bible says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. You know, when we think about this idea of spiritual counsel being rejected, spiritual influences being rejected, we live in that day as well. You know, I remember when Stockwell Day was the Alliance Party leader, and it was looking pretty good. He had a pretty good shot of becoming the Prime Minister of our country. And I remember I was excited about that. And I was driving into work one day, and they were talking on the radio that the Alliance Party, the guy who won the Nobel Prize for Economics, was lauding the Alliance Party's fiscal policies, you know, and their plan for the economy, all these things. They talked about that on the radio. And so when I got to work, I wanted to find a newspaper because I wanted to read about this Nobel Prize winner talking about their economic policies. So I found a newspaper, and I opened it up to the second page, and the entire second page of that newspaper was an article why Stockwell Day was not fit to be our prime minister, because he believed in a six-day creation and he believed the world was only 6,000 years old. So he was not fit to be our prime minister. It took up a whole page. And then I flipped and 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 I got to the very, very last page. And on the bottom, a little article about that big talked about how this Nobel Prize winner in economics loved the Alliance Party's fiscal policies. And I'm thinking to myself, what is wrong with this? Where is the rejection of spiritual influences? I've heard of people that believe in creation, people that believe that God created the world, who have been banned from speaking at science. We're talking doctors, extremely intelligent brain surgeons who have been banned from speaking at medical conferences because they believe God created it. You're considered in the world today to be a dummy if you believe in God. You're considered in Russia, Soviet Union, for many years it was considered to be a mental illness if you believed in the existence of God. And here was Noah, and here was Enoch living in this day when they believed that God was something that was just obscure. It was something that you know, hey, listen, you know what? That religion stuff, and God may be okay for you, but it's not for us. We don't want God. We don't want to live for God. We're going on this side of that line. We're going to live for ourselves, and we're going to love ourselves, and we're going to do what we want to do. We are not going to line ourselves up with God. We don't want to listen. And you know, I can imagine when we think about the rejection of spiritual influences, Noah, for all of those years when he was building the ark, you think he would have won one person? You think somebody would have listened? You would think somebody would have come on board of thousands and thousands of people that he would have been an influence towards. You would think someone would listen. Somebody would come. Somebody would get on board. But they simply rejected the spiritual influences that were around them. The degenerate world rejected the influences of heaven as well. You know, God wasn't sitting back and twiddling his thumbs, wondering what's going to happen. There is certainly the conviction of God. There was certainly the work of the Holy Spirit. There were certainly the influences that God himself would have had. Yet all of those things were rejected. The degenerate world was in danger of losing everything. It was in danger of losing absolutely everything, but it did not care. There was plenty of time for the entire world to hear about the coming flood. There was plenty of time for people to take an account of their lives and of their walk with God. We think, you know, about how strange it would have been for this man, Noah, to be building an ark. Hey, Noah, didn't you realize there's no water around here? Rain? Noah, what in the world is rain? Why are you building a boat in the middle? Hey, listen, folks, God told me to do it. God wanted me to tell you as well that there's judgment coming. God wanted me to tell you that unless you get on board, you're going to perish. And for 100 years, people watched, and people thought, and people had an opportunity to repent. You know, listen, folks, every one of us has been given time to consider our walk with God. How much time have you taken just to even reflect on your walk with God? I'm not saying, I go to church, so my walk's okay. That's not necessarily meaning you're walking with God. How is your walk with God, your daily walk with the Lord? Let me ask you this question. When the judgment comes, And you know, God isn't going to destroy this world again with water, but He is going to destroy this world. And judgment is coming, and you can laugh, and you can mock, and you can think Noah's crazy, and you can think the Christians are crazy, and you can think whatever you want, but reality is reality. You know, God has never been wrong. Has anybody ever found somewhere where God's wrong? You know, there's a lot of prophecies that have come true. God is right every time. And I see no reason to believe that God is going to be wrong about the judgment that's coming. I don't see any reason to believe that Christ is not coming back to set up His kingdom in this earth. And God's given us a little bit of time to stop and to consider when He comes. Is our life going to be saved? You know, Enoch was translated. He was just taken up. God took him to heaven. And I keep thinking about that, man. What an incredible experience that must have been. He was taken up. The other guy that walked with God, Noah, he was taken up too. In a little bit of a different way. But he was taken up. His walk with God saved his life. I think with Enoch, I don't know, again, this is McSwigginology. I look at Enoch, and I think God looked at the world and just said, man, I'm going to spare you. I'm just going to take you out. I'm going to spare you from the judgment that's coming, from this crazy world. And the Bible says when God looked down, He saw the thoughts of man. All those people on this side of the line that didn't have any regard to God, that didn't have any care or concern about living for Him and walking with Him and agreeing with Him and living for Him. God saw that their hearts were bent towards evil, and they wanted nothing more than to serve themselves and to live for themselves. And the Bible says that God repented that He made man. And again, we looked at that a little while ago, what that means. God saw nothing good in the world. A world that He created. And He looked upon it and said, it's good. Then the Bible, as I mentioned, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. You know, God sees the heart of man. God sees the heart of man. You know, I remember they used to talk about ESP. It was really big, ESP. That's extrasensory perception. Back in the 70s, all that stuff was really big. People wanted to get the power to be able to read your mind. And I remember someone saying, could you imagine how wonderful it would be if you could read people's minds? I said, listen, if you could read people's minds, we would kill each other. Like really. If we could read each other's minds right now, I could read your mind, and you're going, preacher, you better not go over today because I've got something in the oven. I'd go over on purpose. Amen? You're saying, preacher, you know what? I don't like the way you're growing your beard back. I don't like the way you cut your hair. I don't, you know, whatever it may, you know, I'm glad we can't read each other's minds. Amen? We would not get along very well. Who's with me on that one? Those are all the ones that are thinking bad things about me right now. No. It would be absolute chaos. Honestly, it would be. We would want to get rid of it real quick. But God can read our minds. There are things going on in your mind right now that nobody else could ever imagine. There are thoughts that come into our minds every day that we're glad people don't know about. And God, the Bible says, looked down and he saw. How did he see? Because he was able to look into the heart. And he looked deep into the hearts of these people. Maybe some of them were faithful to church. Maybe some of them were going soul winning. Maybe some of them were doing this. Maybe some of them were doing that. But God said, listen, I'm not looking at that. I'm looking into the heart. And they're not walking with me. There's something wrong here. God said, I'm going to destroy the world. And again, how the Word of God is rejected. You know, how today, you know, when you talk to people about the Lord, when you talk to people about hell, you know, people don't even want to regard hell. People don't even want to think about hell. People don't even want to believe that there is a hell. And you know, we don't want to even stop and think about the day we're going to die. Listen, I want to think about living. I want to think about what I'm going to do tomorrow. I want to think about what next week is going to bring. But listen, none of us know if we have next week. You know, those people, those individuals that rejected the preaching of Noah, those individuals that rejected, and I do believe in Jude there, it talks about Jesus Christ, the heavenly influence in the days of Noah. Jesus Christ preaching in the Spirit, warning people about the judgment to come. How can all those people flatly reject what God has said? Despite the influence, despite the things that has shown that God is real and God doesn't lie and God doesn't change his mind. You think he would have had one convert. You would think somebody would have listened. Yet, you could imagine on the day when the rain began to fall. You can imagine on the day when the waters began to rise on the earth, and pretty soon, you know, their house was underwater and they had to flee to the hills. And then soon the hills were underwater and they had to flee to the mountains. And when they were at the mountains, they realized that there was nowhere else to go. And then the mountains were under the water. And I know what you're saying, Pastor. I don't know if there was mountains in those days. Well, just imagine there were. Okay. They went to the highest places they could. And they started thinking, man, I should have listened. I had all of those years to consider my walk with God. I had all of that time to repent and to get right with God. And they perished, the Bible says. Except for 8 people. They all perished. And they didn't have to. But they rejected and they rejected and they rejected. This world is not going in the same direction as God is. And because of that, we are going to face that judgment. You know, the Bible says that we are in the world, but we're not of the world. You know, Enoch was in the world. He was not of the world. He was on that side of the line. And if you're on that side of the line, you're not of the world. You're not of the world. And you know, when we look at today, and again, I always try to qualify when I say today, because the world since the fall of man has never been a great place. But let's face it, things used to be better. Things used to be better. Today, we find church attendance constantly dropping overall. We find less people spiritual. We find less Christian influence in society. We see less righteousness and holiness and proper demeanor. And proper attire and proper language and proper this and proper that. The world is going crazy. Somebody amen that. The world is going crazy. And those that are trying to live for God are considered the nuts. And you know, sometimes we can feel a little bit isolated. Could you imagine, as I asked you at the beginning, could you imagine if you were the only one? Could you imagine if you came to church next week and you were the only one that showed up? And then you went to another church and there was nobody there, and you went to another church and there was, you were the only one in the entire world that was walking with God. There was a fellow went to a doctor, and the doctor said, listen, you've got a rare contagious condition. And the doctor told him, we're going to have to put you in isolation. And he said, you're going to be on a diet of pancakes and pizza. And the guy said, wow, pancakes and pizza. He says, is that going to help cure me of my disease? He said, no. He said, that's the only thing we can slip under the door. You know, We are isolated. When I say that, we're not, you know, we're in the world, and we don't cloister ourselves in little convents or anything like that. But you know, we can feel isolated as God's people today. And again, I don't know if any other day's been better, but we can sometimes feel lonely. Do you think Noah felt lonely? Do you think he felt lonely? Oh, you know what? We just can't keep going. You know, there's no other young people there. We can't keep going there. Well, there's nobody my age. Well, you know, I'm all alone. I might as well just join them. I might as well just go over there. Why do I got to be the one centered out? Why do I got to be the one who's different? Why do I have to be the one that's, you know, walking with God when nobody else is? And you know what? The peer pressure. Could you imagine the peer pressure on that fellow named Noah? You know, the world isn't going to get any better. And it's not going to get any easier for Christians. And we are not going to lose the feeling of separation and isolation and loneliness. Noah was different in his character and his work and his companionship. He was different. He was an oddball. You know, as a UCLA football team, as his UCLA football team was suffering through a poor season in the 1970s, head coach Pepper Rogers came under intense criticism and pressure from his alumni and fans. Things got so bad, he remembers with a smile, that friends became hard to find. He said, my dog was my only true friend. Rogers said of that year, he said, I told my wife that every man needs at least two good friends. So she bought me another dog. How many friends did Noah have? How many friends did his children have? How many friends were out there? How many allies did he have? How many people could he go to and say, hey, let's have some prayer together. Let's go out and do a little soul winning. Let's just have a little time of Bible reading together, whatever it may be. Let's just do something for God. And he had no one. He had absolutely no one. And God asks us to stand, maybe alone. Maybe all alone. Maybe isolated. Maybe unwanted. Maybe unloved. But God wants us to walk with him. God wants us to walk with him, whether we're the only ones doing it or not. And I think God's companionship is the best companionship. Amen? Picture in your mind, if you will, Enoch walking with God in the coolness of the evening, and just as night and day were meeting and lengthened shadows began to fall across the earth. Together they walked, speaking, communicating. One the Creator, the other the created. And as they walked, Enoch pleased God. Daily this walk took place. It takes place in the chill of winter and the heat of summer. Enoch daily walked with God in the freshness of spring and the drab foreboding of fall. And then one day, as Enoch and God walked together, and as the sun slowly set, Enoch noticed that he has traveled far from his home and from his family. And he possibly says, God, I didn't realize that we had walked together such a distance from my home. Shouldn't we turn around now before the deep darkness of night falls? And God, hearing these words of a man who pleased him, said, no, Enoch, let's continue our walk tonight. I would like you to go home with me. And together, God and Enoch walked and continued to walk to this very day. You know, physical walking may prolong our lives, but walking with God may save our life. Are you walking with God? Are you in agreements with Him? Or is the world alluring? Is the world pressuring you? Is the world drawing you towards it and its fame and its fortune and its prosperity and all of the things that we can gain in this world, yet we consider nothing about God? Consider nothing about God's will and God's ways? Are you walking with God? Because it may save your life one day. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I do pray that in a world that is increasingly getting more and more like the days of Noah, getting more and more away from God and away from the things of God, and where a Christian seems to be out of place, Christian that walks with you and talks with you, Lord, each one of us must consider if we're walking with you. God, I pray if there's somebody here this day, this morning, who's never made the commitment to trust Jesus Christ, to believe the message, to believe that one day we're going to stand before God and judgment will come if we are not in Christ. We need to walk with you. My prayer is if there's somebody here, they will not delay, because one day it will be too late. And my prayer for the Christian again is that we would walk with you. No matter who forsakes us, no matter what the world does, no matter who falls as a victim to this world, we will continue to walk with you and love you and agree with you. May God, the Holy Spirit, work in hearts. And as we have this altar call, if God has spoken to you, if you need to be saved, you come. We'll have somebody take the Bible, show you how to be saved. And maybe as a Christian, you know you're not walking with God. That if you were living in this day, your name would not be there as one who walked with God. We can make that change today. And we can determine to walk with you. So would you help us? Would you guide us? And would the Holy Spirit convict? In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together as we sing.